inch 2 meter net for KK4JBQ, Mr. Larry over there in Greer. Larry, you know, there's a lot of old TV programs that you and I watched that they don't even have rerun star anymore, unfortunately. But some of them they do, but most of them you can go, like you said, to a place like YouTube and pull them up and watch some of the old stuff. Joy's, what a Joy's, mine and Joy's channels to watch on TV is the Turner Classic Movies. And we enjoy those occasionally. We don't watch them every day, that sort of thing. But they put on some of the older stuff, and, you know, it really, now they didn't have the, visual effects and the sound effects and all that stuff that we've got now with the technology we have, but they did a pretty good job with what they had to work with. And, of course, a lot of that, some of that time was, you know, when they were going from the silent movies into talkies, and oh, gosh, that brings up another bunch of garbage, but we won't go there. But I agree with you. You know, there's some good stuff out there to watch, and that's another good place to go if you've run into a problem. You know, you say your washing machine's not doing properly. You can go on there and go over several different videos and maybe find out what's wrong with your washing machine and fix it, or maybe not be able to fix it. Yeah, well, it's dead. It's time to buy a new one. So a lot of good information out there. It really is.
Well, as it happens, you gave me an idea for something else to talk about, which will be in the form of a public service announcement. Donna and I were doing laundry a few days ago, and the dryer started sounding funny. Now, the dryer is one heat source in your house that can burn it down. I'll say that again. Your dryer can burn down your house. Well, now, how can it do that? Well, it creates quite a bit of heat, for crying out loud. And it extracts from your clothing what we call, generally, we call it lint. It's all kinds of fabric fibers, you know, both synthetic and natural fibers. It's fluffy. And if you get it hot enough, it'll burn. See? I understand. I knew this beforehand, but I understand that the dryer, a dryer fire, is it is the number one cause of house fires. Any insurance company will tell you that. Your own insurance company, you know, look it up. It's the truth. Well, I was, as I said, aware of this, and it was making funny sounds, still moving, still chugging along, but not sounding as it used to. And I mentioned it to Donna a couple of times, and the second time because I was aware that it could be serious if it should cause a fire. I says, honey, let's call somebody. This is beyond my means of confidently going in and doing anything about the dryer. Let's do that. So we got somebody over here, and he was an independent fellow. Don't know how Donna came up with, you know, and I don't have his name or anything. I'm not advertising anything. A lot of people know how to take a dryer apart and what to do if they find a problem. Now, there could be a lot of problems, of course. But, yeah, we'll just go at it this way. He says, just in passing, he says, I just got a new piece of equipment, he says. It's, it goes on the end of your drill, and you can go outside where the dryer vents to the outdoors you know. You can go out there, and there's a little, oh, I'd say it's probably 4 inches, a 4-inch diameter brush, lots of little bristles on it, that you run the drill and push it into the vent, and it'll clean it out. We've lived here for 25 years and have never done that. Clean it out. Might be something you want to get into, and it might not be. I'll leave that there. But he says, just got this new piece of equipment, and I'll give you a special because I want to use it somewhere. But what'd you say? And it was about half off the way he put it, what he intended to charge for it and what he would charge us. I bought that, and I says, well, while you're in there looking at why this thing sounds like it does when it's running, let's do that. I thought it would be a good idea. So, as it turns out, the dryer was clogged. It has a 3-inch flexible vent, flexible vent hose, pipe, whatever you call it. Very flexible. And this thing was probably about 4.5 feet long. It goes through the house and outdoors, you see. And you can't tell anything going outdoors and looking in that end of it. You can't really tell much looking in the end of the one that's plugged into the dryer. You can't tell what you're looking at. But he went out there and he pulled out 2 grocery bags full of packed stuff. Remember I said 25 years of use? Now this is, we've had 2 dryers in that time, and it's all that one dryer could do, and most of another one, I might imagine. Anyway, all of that to say that I'm very thankful that we now have a dryer vent that will not cause a problem. And it was the lack of airflow. That was what was making the dryer work harder, you know, because there's a blower in there. And if it's blowing against a clog, you know. So anyway, maybe you have some experience with such a thing yourself, Gary. I don't know, but that was my public service announcement for the night. KK4JBQ.
Come in. Hey, buddies, KK4HXB. Larry, you need to keep your dryer cleaned out. Deb called me the other night, and she said the dryer's acting funny. So I had to go in there and get the vacuum cleaner out and clean it. I can sympathize with you there, buddy. She does it to me all the time.
KK4JBQ, Mr. Larry over there in Greer. Thanks for the comment there, Earl. But, Larry, one thing that I do, I do it probably at least once a month, and maybe do it a little more often than that. If I'm outside or if I go outside and the dryer is running, I go over to the dryer vent and see how much airflow I can feel. If I can feel airflow, I feel pretty good about it. Dryers have several safety features in them. If your dryer takes a real long time to dry your clothes, that is the first indication you want to look for. You know, if the wife normally dries a load of clothes in we'll say 45 minutes, and it takes an hour and a half, something's wrong. So, you know, that's a good indication if it's taking longer to dry your clothes. Another one is if the top of the dryer gets really hot. There's a couple of safety features on the inside that if it gets so hot, they like circuit breakers, they cut the power off to the heating element. And until it cools back down, when it cools back down, the thing closes back up again and turns the heating element back on and lets it do its thing. But not only can the dryer vent get clogged up with lint and that sort of stuff, There's also a lot of moisture in there. And if you have a sag in your line somewhere, in your vent going from wherever your dryer sits to the outside, I went to one lady's house, and her dryer vent went from one side of the house to the other. Her dryer was on the front side, and her vent was on the back. And the dryer vent had a sag in it, and it filled up with water. And, it didn't clog up the whole vent, but the section that was dipped down, the condensation kept growing, and it created a puddle of water. So that stopped the vent. Stopped the lint from going across, because it started to cross the water. It get wet and stop. And so it clogged up right there. So keeping those vents clean is a really good idea.
You know, what you say there, it shouldn't shock me, but it does. It still does. The way people build houses, I mean, just stand back and shake your head. That's all I can do. The way people build houses. A dryer vent that goes from one side of the house to the other. Is that like one of the most stupidest things you've ever heard? That just slays me, as they say. Well, okay. I don't want to talk this to death, but I also want people to realize that it is a real thing. It is a real thing. When Donna worked the last location, she worked with the same company for, you know, like 35 years. But she worked at different locations. And the last location was in Belden, and that was quite a drive for her. And there and back, of course, every day. And then she had a very responsible job situation. She was an accountant, and that's kind of important for a company. And she put a lot of time in, so I did the laundry. Now, I didn't gain any more knowledge about the machines that serve us, washer and the dryer, and anything else you might have on laundry day. I could do it, you know. No problem. She never had a problem with the way I took care of the laundry. I'm not aware that we, as I said before, we have had two dryers. The manufacturers of which you would recognize the name. None of them have any, as far as I know, and I've read the manuals on these things and everything, nothing stood out as a safety feature like you're talking about. I wasn't even aware of, lint can get soggy with the moisture that's pulled out of the wet clothes and, so I wasn't aware of a situation like that, for sure. Anyway, I'm just happy that we got that taken care of. And wherever you do your laundry, be aware that you need to maintain for your own safety and for the well-being of your home, your entire home, lock, stock, and barrel. I've walked through, maybe some other people here on the net have walked through a burnt-out house. It is one of the most tragic things you can ever witness, to walk through a burnt-out house and what used to be everybody that lived there, what used to be their belongings. I've done that. And I got to tell you, it's life-changing, for sure. Do anything you can do not to have your house burned down, for crying out loud. Anyway, we're all happy to be here, aren't we? And let's remember that. Everybody have a good night's rest. Let's hope for a day tomorrow of some sort. This is KK4JBQ. Thanks for talking with me, Gary. It's always a good time. It's always my pleasure. Everyone have a good night. 7-3.
Made it, as always. Look forward to doing it again. And that is some good information to put out. We take a lot of our stuff for granted. Now that you've got your dryer vent all cleaned out, you'll find out it won't take quite as long, or won't take anywhere near as long to dry your clothes as it used to. You'll think, well, golly, this dryer's working a whole lot better than that other one did, but it's got a lot more airflow, so it'll seem like it's outperforming the other one, and it may not be. But just that, the situation under the same situations that the vent not been cleaned, the new dryer might have taken as long as the old one did. So anyway, just throw that out there for what it's worth. But enjoyed it, Larry. Look forward to doing it again there, young man. You and Miss Donna have a great evening, what's left of it. Stay warm, stay dry, and hopefully we'll have another day tomorrow, and we'll go from there. 7-3, my friend. We'll talk to you a little bit later. If we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, call KI4DOS. To check in or make a comment or just trying to cover me up while I was talking, call KI4DOS.
I guess someone just trying to just jump in there. So they tried to double with you, but you outdid them. N4, NLR.
Yes, sir, Mr. Jim, what have you been up to?
Always joke with me and say, I've been up about eye level. What about you?
I can't complain. I mean, I could, but wouldn't nobody listen anyway.
That's true. I'm just sitting here listening to you, Lay, and talk, and I even love to listen to Lay tell us cat stories. We got an old cat here that hangs out with us. So, but I'm not really much up to anything here. Just enjoying. Listen, y'all chat about this, that, and the other.
Oh, there ain't no telling what me and Larry's liable to get to talking about. You mentioned cats and cat stories. I'll tell you this one real quick. We had, Joy and I had a cat. We were living in a little town called Mudford, Tennessee, right outside of Memphis, about 30 miles or so. And we had a cat that we carried up there. And when we moved up there, we let the cat out, and he took off. And he was gone for about 3 days, and Joy thought she done lost her cat. Well, the cat came back, and he decided he wanted to be an inside-outside cat instead of an inside cat all the time. So if he wanted out, he would go over and bump the back. We had a screen door on the back. And he would bump the old wooden screen door and until somebody pushed the door open for him. One night he went out and he was gone for about another 3 or 4 days. We were sitting in the house. I don't know what we were doing. I was probably studying, because that's when I was in school for the military. And I heard the back door slam, the screen door. And I said, well, what's that? Didn't hear Joy moving around. And then it bammed again. And then it bammed a third time. And I got up and walked out there to see what was going on. And there was our cat reaching up and sticking his claws into the screen. And he would pull the door open to let it bump. So I opened the door and to let him in. And all of a sudden, a little orange tabby came running in front of ours. And he brought his girlfriend home, carried her in there, showed her the cat box, showed her where he ate his Yeah, his food. And a little tabby ate a little bit, and they used the cat box, and they went around the house and jumped on all the beds and all the rest of the furniture, and then back out the back door. But I never had a cat bring his girlfriend home.
That is sort of unusual. Hadn't heard anything like that. But I guess we had cats most of my life. Mother and Dad, when I was a kid, had a little cat around the house. And here, I guess, been about 3 or 4 years ago, we're probably longer than that, but can't remember when. But anyway, we raised this little kitten. I mean, he was a kitten. I mean, he barely had his eyes open, I'm sure, just a week or two after we realized we had one. He snuck in our garage, and we didn't know he was in there for a while. So anyway, he finally came out. We had a lawnmower in the garage, and he crawled on the lawnmower. And we eventually seen him, and slowly but sure, we finally got him out, or my wife already got him out. And he was just a tiny little thing. He was like a little, I don't know, maybe a whole 5 ounce or so. He was so small, just about out of the wound, I guess you might say. But we had him for about 17 years, and about 3 or 4 years ago, he developed, I think, a cancer. So we had to put him down. I tell you, that was one of the worst things in the world I think I've ever done, Gay.
Put your kitty down. It's terribly hard to do that. You know, we get attached to our animals, they're part of the family, and it is a very, very hard thing to do. It was Joey's dog, but it was mine as well, as little Mickey, house dog that we had. She got a cancerous tumor on her stomach, and we carried her to the vet, and they took it off, and they said, well, we don't know, it may come back and it may not. You know, we think we got it all, but we'll just have to wait and see. Well, 2 years later, it came back, but it came back with a vengeance. I mean, gosh, it grew rapidly, and I mean, one day it was not there, and the next day it was the size of a golf ball. And unfortunately, we talked to the vet, and the vet said, well, with her age, she's was either 10 or 11. I don't remember. I think she was 11. But the vet said, with her age, that she might make it, she might not. And if she did make it, she didn't have but about a year left anyway, or maybe a year and a half or so. So we had to make that decision as well. So I know what it feels like to have to put your animal down. But, gosh, we get attached to him, don't we?
We got real attached to him. I mean, he was such a loving thing. And he'll let you do anything to him that you want to do to him, pretty much. But he was a great cat. I mean, 17 years is a long time, but I hate to say this, but I cried like a baby when the vet told us he had a cancer. And, first off, we was wondering why he wouldn't eat. That's what reverted this more than anything, because he loved to eat. And when we put food down, he'd just look at it and maybe try to take a bite, but wouldn't eat at all. So this went on for about 3, 4, 5 days. And so we eventually took him to the vet and got him checked out, and that's when we found out he had a little cancer in his stomach. And needless to say, they couldn't do much with that. And, oh, Lord, I never did think I'd get attached to a cat that bad, but I did.
And I know how it is. We get attached to him very quickly, and I know we do around here. I've got them two big German Shepherds out in the backyard. And when I had my heart attack, the oldest one, both of them are female, but the older one is tan and black, and then the younger one is solid black with tan stockings, I call them. Her legs are tan, but the rest of her is jet black. Anyway, the older one would not leave my side, and she knew something was wrong, and so I guess they get attached to us just like we get attached to them. But if I go out in the backyard now, the older dog stays right beside me. It doesn't matter where I go or what I do, she's right there with me, and she's watching over me. So, they're protective of us as we are of them.
They are. Well, Gary, I won't hold you up. I know you've been on the radio for a couple hours, I guess. Your voice is probably getting wore out. But anyway, I'll just chime in there for a minute and let you know it appeared someone's trying to mess your single up, but you overrode them. So I'll get off here and let you get your cup of coffee or whatever you got. Get something to drink or something or other. Enjoy talking to you, yeah. We'll catch up with you a little later on. Have a good night, you and Miss Joy. This is the N4 NLR.
Jim, will you take care? And Jim, do you remember Mr. Ray Allison, K4SUG? Me and him, we get off the net. It's time for coffee. You go give me a cup of coffee before I go to bed. I can drink my coffee and go lay down and go right to sleep. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't keep me awake. But you give me a Pepsi Cola or a soft drink like that, or a glass of sweet tea. I'll drink that and I'll be up. I can't go to sleep then, but I can have my coffee and go to bed. So you're right. I'll probably get me a cup of coffee when I get off of here. But anyway, you take care and have a great evening. Thanks for talking with me a little bit. I enjoyed it. And hopefully we'll do it again sometime soon. 7-3, my friend. Additional check-ins or additional comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS.
As far as it goes, Gary, yes, I definitely remember Ray Allison. I enjoy talking to him more than anybody on the radio pretty much, I guess. He'd always have all kinds of words of wisdom. And in my earlier days, I drove up to Paris Mountain and happened to just run into him somehow or another. Because me and my friend was going up there and look at the view from Paris Mountain. Of course, you can't get up there where all that stuff is nowadays. But anyway, he welcomed us in and showed us around the telephone relay system and stuff like that. Told us about it and told us how to have backup batteries and all this kind of stuff. He's always very educational to listen to. He'd always come up with a remedy for something. But yeah, I miss Ray very much. I couldn't believe that he didn't pass when I found out about it. But anyway. All right, I'll be quiet. In for NLR.
Well, there's a whole bunch of us out here in Radio Land that miss Mr. Ray. No doubt in my mind about it. But do appreciate you being with us. You take care. Have a great day tomorrow. And hopefully we'll talk to you a little bit later. 7-3, my friend. Any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. We'll wrap it up for this evening, Wednesday evening. I'm going to submit my net report electronically here, and then we'll close the net out. Grand total of 60 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling to the best of my knowledge and give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We'd like to thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.